Well, good morning, grace and peace. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Wow, I'm still forgetting that identification at times. But you know what this is. This is Making Changes. I'm Derek Triplett. Glad to be with you every Friday on this Blog Talk platform. I want to thank Minister Faye Dadsey. I want to thank Ms. Heather Butts for the opportunity to come share on this Friday. By now, you know what we do on Making Changes. We talk about change in the community, change in the church, change in how we live our lives, education, relationships, family, you name it, we talk about it on Making Changes. Why? Because I am vehemently against the negative status quo. Anything that is bad needs to become good. Anything that is good needs to be better. And if it's one of the better things, let's try to be the best. Improvement. Why? Because if we're going to have a better world, we've got to have better people. It's interesting that even I'm a Christian, and it's interesting that I can hear Christians sometimes pray very, very general prayers. Lord, give us a better world. Lord, give us a better neighborhood. To have a better world, to have a better neighborhood, to have a better city, you've got to have better people. Yes, we do fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, we do. And so we've got to have people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, unified with each other, that we might be able to fight those things. Then when the rubber meets the road, we've also got to have people who live their lives differently, who have a different worldview, who have a different ethos and a pathos, who have different habits, who think differently, so that we are able to really, really have better people. Better people make a better world. And so we try to talk about change, improvement, progress here on Making Changes. I'm fighting with this voice this morning, and so I'm trying to get it to wake up, and it won't wake up yet. So bear with me this morning. We start Making Changes with what I call off the top, just something that is I've seen in the news or something I've seen on social media, just to kind of clear my head of all of the other things so that we can get to today's topic. And so just off the top, really quick, I live in Central Florida. I live in Daytona Beach. I'm back and forth between Orlando and Daytona all week. Part of our ministry is there. Our radio ministry is in Orlando, and so we're there a couple days a week. And the back and forth. The road between Daytona and Orlando is Interstate 4, I-4. So you'll hear me talk about I'm back on my friend I-4, headed back one way or the other. And so I was thinking the other day, just really, really, and I want to talk about this really quick off the top, how important it is to just know that God keeps you from the simple things. That the things that you deem as I'm driving most likely 600, 700 miles a week, never under 500 miles a week, just back and forth in Central Florida. And I get home safely. I get to my destinations safely. God keeps us the little things. You know, they tell you in driving, you got to drive for the other guy too. And so I just thank God for the little things, being able to get home safely, being able to do the things that he's called me to do, but that he takes care of me. And that's a great, 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 great thing. And so I give him thanks for that. Just kind of thinking about, you know, when you see people, when you hear about accidents, you cut on the news in the morning, always hear about a traffic accident, whether it's a serious accident, a fatal accident, or just a fender bender, and God is God keeps me safe. Maybe some of you live in larger cities where you're commuting like that every day. God keeps you safe in your commute. That is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Also off the top, wow, it is, we're getting into really my favorite time in sports. We're in conference play in NCAA basketball. We're headed toward the All-Star break for the NBA. So it's after the All-Star break, it really gets serious. College basketball starts to move to the end of its season in the college. And it's conference tournaments, and then ultimately to the NCAA tournament, March Madness. My favorite sports month of the year is March. I speak of that because I don't hate to admit, I love March Madness. I love March Madness. It is very, very, very important to me. I watch the games, exciting, all of that, the buzzer beaters and all of that. And I just thought about the fact that when you work in ministry, when you work in this very, very serious, serious job, you have to have something that you really, really enjoy that's outside of ministry so that you can have the balance that you need in life. It's very, very important now to have the balance that you need so that you can unplug. You know, I've been in ministry 30 years, and the responsibilities of ministry have not changed, but the complexities of ministry has, and the demands on the minister has. When I started ministry, there was no email. When I started ministry, there were no text messages. If you had a cell phone, it wasn't your primary phone. But now there's so many inputs into your being, into your psyche, into your emotions on a given day. And on a given day, you can get, you know, so many emails, so many text messages, so many phone calls, have so many appointments, doing so many different administrative responsibilities, pastoral care responsibilities. There are just so many inputs that you never unplug if there's nothing that you have in your life that allows you to intentionally unplug and completely unplug. I think about that. Some people, it's golf, and some others, it's tennis. For some, I know pastors and ministers who play video games. I just can't do that. I don't play video games. But the need to unplug is so important so that you can have the balance in your life. The other thing is that God is so demanding, not just ministry jobs, but non-ministry jobs are so demanding now, and there's so many inputs. Again, the emails, the text messages, the Skyping, there's just so many inputs that in many cases we are coming home more mentally tired than people did in the past. And that mental fatigue can actually cost you relative to your spouse, relative to your family, your children, because you don't have the necessary energy for them. I'm asking you to make sure, maybe I should have made this the show topic, but rather than just off the top, I'm asking you to make sure that you have the ability to unplug. Make sure that you save some energy for your family. Husband, save some energy for your wife. Wife, save some energy for your husband. Parents, save some energy for your children. Don't let television and video games and smartphones raise your children. Save some energy so that you can have the kind of relationships that you need so that you would have the balance that you need. couple things off the top again, and then we'll get into today's topic. And once again, I apologize. I can't wake this voice up today for some reason in the recording of this particular show. Off the top, lastly, let's see. I said I wasn't going to mention it. I thought it was the dumbest thing a couple weeks ago. It was the Super Bowl. I thought it was the dumbest play ever. But I'll mention this. I think when your desire is not met, then in many cases it doesn't really even matter what else happens. Here's what I mean. I do not like the New England Patriots. And for anyone in the Boston area who may be listening to me, please keep listening. Don't hold it against me. I don't like the New England Patriots. I'm really not a Seattle Seahawks fan. But it was a great story for the young man who made the interception, you know, free agent, undrafted from small school. It was a great, great story, great, great feel-good story. But I really haven't delved into his story, really haven't been able to appreciate how this must change his life and all, and how for the better, because he plays for the Patriots, he plays for the Patriots. And what I'm learning and what I've learned is that our desires are so important, and what we really, really want are so important. Even in we're neutral. I'm neutral. I'm not a Seahawks fan, but I'm very, very against the Patriots. So I guess that doesn't make me neutral. But I would, you know, I do a sports show on Fridays on WOKB Radio. My two co-hosts and I do the Man Cave, the Sports View with the crew on WOKB Gospel 1680. You can get that app on Android as well as iPhone, or listen on WOKB Radio. We're on from 12 to 2 on Fridays, the same station that my Making Changes broadcast is on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 1. But we'll be there later today. Talking, and we will not talk about the Super Bowl because I refuse to talk about it. But it's just, you would think, wow, it's a feel-good story. Our desires are so strong. When we desire life to be a certain way, we just ignore the other possibilities to bring something good out of it. That's the point. When we desire life to be a certain way, we ignore the other possibilities for good. And one of the things we've got to do is recognize that often we have to give up our desires for whatever else has happened or whatever the will of God is. I'm not speaking of the will of God and in relation to a football game. I don't think God cares who wins the Super Bowl. But the providence of God gives us an opportunity to submit to his will in general. And so never let your desires keep you from seeing the good in a situation that is really, really empirically there, but because it doesn't meet your desires, you don't see the good in it. We don't want to be in that situation. Well, off the top was a little long this morning. Let me get to today's topic. I want to talk, and in the time that we have left today, and please send me your comments and your opinions on Twitter at Derek Triplett, DerekTriplett. That's Twitter, that's Facebook, that's Instagram, and all of that. I want to talk today about personal distance. The unfortunate personal distance that seems to be pervasive within our culture. I am not talking about necessary personal distance. We are taught as pastors to make sure that we have a certain, although we have to engage our congregation that we're to have a certain pastoral distance so that we're never common to our congregation. Those of you who work in certain situations where you are in a supervisory capacity, there's a personal distance that you have to have. I'm not talking about professional distance. I'm talking about the personal distance that seems to be so prevalent and so pervasive in a culture where there are so many inputs. Isn't it interesting that with the amount of text messaging and the amount of email and has all of the communication devices, Skype, FaceTime, with all of the communication devices, it seems like people aren't as close as they used to be. That our commitment to our other responsibilities, our commitment to our other inputs, keep us from being close. It is amazing, and you've seen it in restaurants where a family can be at the table. Family can be at the table, and right there at the table, everybody's on their smartphones. They're not talking to each other. They're on their smartphones. The cute little Eggo waffle commercial where the family is at the counter in the kitchen, and they're texting each other and calling each other. You know, I know you're there because I see you. I'm just letting you know to let go my ego. We have this distance, this communication distance, this emotional distance that has been created because life is so busy and life is so taxing on us physically, taxing on us emotionally, that we are not using communication and the communication devices to get closer. In many cases, we are using the communication devices to create distance from those who are close with us. Smartphones, social media have given us the opportunity to connect with people who are not in our vicinity. That's great. You're able to connect with persons, in many cases, persons that you don't even know. There are people that, because of our social media relationship, I feel like I'm close to them. They feel like they're close to me. They will post things and refer them to me, or I'll post things and refer to them. And these are people that, in many cases, that we barely know each other. But yet, the people that are in your church every week, the people who are in your neighborhood every week, I know more about people across the country than I know about my next-door neighbor, because there's no personal engagement. The opportunities and the technology, the communication technology, in many cases is not bringing us closer. It's making the world smaller. But in many cases, it's not bringing people closer. Text messaging, social media, I call them a veil, because people will text things that they would never say. People will post things on social media that they would never say to a person who's in front of them, because you have the veil. You have the veil of text messaging. You have the veil of posting on social media. And so my concern is, and my presentation to you as a offer for contemplation, as a subject that maybe you can discuss with others. I wish this was my call in making changes so that we could call in and talk about this. But how are we going to reduce the distance that's being created because of the world and the way we live our lives? If you look at, I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, and so I look at the Bible, and even though it's a different time, different manner of life, more the Bible is very much so based upon agriculture. But Jesus was intentionally relational. And that's what I'm able to draw, as purposeful as his life was, as busy as his life was. He was on a mission, but he was intentionally and even intensely relational. He was relational with the 12 apostles who came out of the cadre of disciples who were with him. He was intensely and intently relational with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He was intently and intensely relational. Scripture doesn't show that he was as relational with his family, but there are some indications that there was relationship, but you don't hear a lot about his interaction with his family in Scripture, but you do hear a lot about his interaction with his disciples, his interaction with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He was intentionally relational. The Apostle Paul, in his letters and in the book of Acts, you see him being intentionally and intensely relational, always referring to his friends, always doing things and having persons alongside of him. Excuse this voice, having persons alongside of him, intensely and intentionally relational. And one of the things that I'm seeing in our culture today is that in many cases, we are not intentionally and we are not intensely relational. Let's deal with the two words and we'll be done for today. Intentionally relational. That I view relationships as valuable. I view relationships as my responsibility. That I do not view relationships as disposable or a matter of utility. That is how we are to live. We are not to live our relationship, live having our relationships as disposable or a matter of utility. I'm in relationship with this person because this person is useful to me. This person can get me there, and this person can open the door for this, or I have such great admiration for this person. It would be nice to be in a relationship with them, to be in a friendship. That's utility. The relationship is not about the connection between the two people. The relationship is about how the connection can affect your life. It shouldn't be that way. We have to be intentionally relational because we want to connect with people. Now, it takes work. And maybe that's why it's easier to have the more surface relationships via social media, or have the more surface relationships even within the context of church. Hey, how are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. Good to see you. See you next Sunday. You know, those very, very surface relationships easier because relationships take work. Relationships take commitment. Relationships take self-sacrifice. Relationships force you to get rid of your selfishness. Relationships force you to do to go out of your way. In relationships, you're working to relate to people who can relate on the same ship. It's very important, and that becomes difficult. So it's easier to just, I do this for that. This person is in my life for that reason, and this person is in my life for that reason. And that's when we miss the power of intimacy. We miss, and when I speak of intimacy, I'm not talking about romantic intimacy or sexual intimacy. I'm speaking of closeness. We miss the power of intimacy, and we miss the power of vulnerability, because there is strength in having the ability to be vulnerable and that vulnerability paying off. So it's important that we are intentionally relational so that we're not using relationships for just utility purposes, or that so that relationships are not disposable. Disposable. Some people, relationships are like paper cups and paper plates. After you've used them, you throw them away. That's in many cases what we're having in the young adult dating scene. It's what's happening in many cases in the older adult dating scenes, people who have been married and have gotten burned in marriages, and so they've decided how they're going to live their life a certain way. Relationships become disposable. I tweeted on yesterday, and I've taught this concept over and over again as it relates to romantic relationships. Some people don't want companionship. They just want company on request. Make sure that you know whether or not you want companionship or company. Companionship is about mutual giving. Company is about intermittent receiving. Some people don't want the responsibilities of companionship. They just don't want to be alone when they don't want to be alone. Don't, when you're looking for companionship, make sure that you don't hook up with someone who is just looking for company, because then that becomes a disposable relationship. You want to be fine china in the relationship. You don't want to be a paper plate. You want to be a crystal. You want to be a crystal glass, and I know, you know, you want to be a crystal container. You don't want to be the paper cup, you know. So you want to make sure that you know what's going on. Let's not major in disposable relationships. It creates a distance. It keeps us always on the surface with people. And when we're always on the surface with people, then we're not being intentionally relational when it comes to the depth of that the relationship has the potential to be. Intentionally relational to kill the distance, but then intensely relational. When you're intense about it, you put your all into it. When you're intense about it, your emotions are into it. When you are intense about it, there's the opportunity to have high emotions. There's the opportunity to have low emotions when you are intense about it. It's very, very important to become intense about the people in your life, to become intense. I'm not talking about negative. I'm not talking about single white female. Remember that movie? But intense about loving people the way that you should love them, being open to receive love the way that you should be open to receive love, so that we can close this distance. People should always be greater than things. And in many cases, we're pursuing the things in life, and we're having this distance in the people in life. So I encourage you, use your communication tools to not just have surface relationships, but to really be close to people. Listen, I'm Derek Triplett. We're here every Friday at 10 a.m. Hit us on Twitter, hit us on Facebook, hit us on Instagram, and we appreciate the opportunity to share with you. God bless you. Have a great day.